Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, I give you all the glory, praise, and honor. Thanks for another Sunday night, Lord. Thanks for seeing us through another week. Thank you for all you've done for us. Pray tonight you give us exactly what's in your heart for each of us. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Well, the Lord is good. Hallelujah. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Isn't that reassuring? You know, some of the scriptures are so reassuring. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they're safe, you know. I always think of the baseball game when the guy slides into second and the guy says, safe, you know. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in and they're safe. God is amazing. I feel like God has a lot more for us than we're tapping into. And he was reminding me of Abraham in his old age when God came to him and promised him a son. And it was the desire of Abraham's heart. And we know that because earlier Abraham had asked him about who's going to be the heir of my house. Abraham was actually very wealthy. He had several hundred servants. And he said, who's gonna inherit all my things? I don't have a son. I don't have an heir. So what am I going to give it to my steward? You know, that bothered him, and he brought it up before the Lord. But in his old age, the Lord promised him a boy, a son, an heir, and not just any heir, but one who would father many nations. And not only that, but that through Abraham's seed, all the earth would be blessed. That's amazing. He's talking about, of course, Yeshua, Jesus, that through Abraham, salvation would come, and actually to the whole world. That's pretty amazing. And as God was reminding me of this, he was reminding me that sometimes, see, it would have made sense for Abraham and Sarah to think, well, it's too late for us. We're too old. Remember Elizabeth and Zacharias? They were the parents of John the Baptist. It was way too late in life for them to be having children. And Elizabeth had always been barren. They had no children. So she was barren, oh wait, and they're past the age. It made no sense. It wasn't possible. But the promise of the Lord came, didn't it? And when the promise of the Lord comes to you, and I'm saying this because I believe that there is someone that is either watching right now, or you will hear this later or see it later, that God has promised you something that makes no sense. Think of being Mary, a young girl. They think maybe 15, you know, we don't know for sure, but she was young. And an angel comes to her and he says, behold, favored one. You know, what kind of greeting is that, right? And this angel says to her that the she's going to be overshadowed by the Spirit of God. It says the power of the Most High will come upon you. And you're going to bear a son. How can this be, seeing I know not a man? Right? It was impossible. But in all these cases, what God was birthing or bringing wasn't just a baby. It was a ministry of heaven on the earth. And that's really what every true ministry should be. And so when God impregnates you, now I want you to understand, if you're dull of hearing, you might not understand this, or if you don't understand parables, but in the way that God speaks, quite often when he refers to a baby, he's talking about a ministry, possibly a business that's being birthed in God. But when he comes with a promise to you and he says, you're going to do this thing, or you're going to bring this forth, it may be a dream about a baby. And it's probably not a physical, literal baby. More likely, it may be about a ministry or a business, something that you're birthing or bringing forth into the earth. And it's very common for people to say, ask a lot of questions, and look at the natural impossibility of the promise. That's very common with people. And the reason that God doesn't want you to do that is For it to happen, you have to come in agreement and alignment with the promise. And the minute you start naysaying because it doesn't make sense or it's not possible, right? The minute you start saying no, being a naysayer, then what happens is you put that thing on hold. And what God is saying to you, some of you that are watching right now, I feel absolutely sure in my spirit that I'm sharing this because some of you have been promised certain things by God that seem like a stretch, if not impossible. And in some cases, it may be due to your family circumstances or your financial situation or your age or your location. Could be a million reasons why it doesn't make sense. But if you look through the scriptures, you'll find that God almost never does what we think would make sense. He never does what we think is possible. He laughs at that. Why nothing is impossible with God? What do you mean it's impossible? You know, if he wanted to, he could wad the earth up in a little ball and flip it in the air and it comes out, you know, completely different. He's God. He can do anything he wants. So for us to tell God something's not possible is frankly pretty silly. God can do anything he wants and he can use anybody he wants. And he quite often picks the last and the least likely candidate. So instead of presenting God any reason why you think he couldn't, shouldn't, or wouldn't, if you feel God has promised something to you, even if it doesn't make sense, be like Mary who said, "Let it be unto me according to the word of the Lord. Let it be unto your handmaiden according as you have said." She didn't resist the will of God. It was out there. It was crazy. It made no sense at all. It's impossible that a virgin could give birth. And then on top of that, she might have been thinking, why would he pick me? You know, why me? I'm just a kid, you know, I'm not anybody, right? And isn't that how we think? When God picks us to do something, often we think, why would God pick me? That makes no sense. But quite often, what you don't know when God chooses you to do something or birth something or bring something forth, quite often what you don't know is that inside you, he's already put the perfect template for that thing. And you may have not encountered it yet. There's a lot going on inside you that you don't know. There's a heavenly mark on the inside of you, a seed of God. There are things God put in you that can only be discovered by the Spirit of God. And so no human will discover it. No flattery from another person will discover it. No looking in the mirror of the flesh will discover it. It's interaction with the Spirit of God that unlocks that. It's through prayer. It's through listening. It's through praying. It's through becoming sensitive to his world, right? God lives in a different realm. It's very different than our realm. And so as we interact with God, God begins to unlock things in us that we frankly didn't know were in there. And what I've discovered is that the longer we spend letting God unlock those things that are in us, the more we come to discover how perfectly he designed what he put in us with what he will do. It's like an absolute perfect fit. It's like a perfect key that fits a perfect lock. It's absolutely made to fit beautifully and perfectly, and nothing else will open that, by the way. The wrong key will not open what's in you. So somebody who, you listen, I'm just going to be honest with you, people in the body of Christ operate in the flesh all the time. There's people who give prophecies that are not from God. We don't know why. We don't know why, but we see it a lot. And what happens is when someone gives you a wrong prophecy, it will not unlock the keys that are in you, or the it will not open the lock that is in you. It will not release the template of God that's in you, the blueprint that's in you. But when God himself speaks directly to you, or you see it in the scriptures and you get that witness that the Lord is talking to you, or someone prophesies straight from the throne. You ever have somebody speak to you a prophecy and you, there are so much in there. You know, often when it's really God, they talk about that prophecy will have the fingerprints of God, meaning it's unmistakably God, because he'll use words that only you knew, words that you used with him privately, things you've talked to him about privately that no one knew, or secret hopes or secret things in your heart that you've talked about with God, maybe things you've agonized over, but you never really told anyone, or maybe you have a pet name for something. God will use that to make you know, this is me, right? If you ever had somebody give you a prophecy like that, well, that is life, and that's a word from the Lord. And what happens is, if someone is able to speak an exact word from the throne, it has life, because it is not that person. I assure you, if it's accurate like that, it is not them. It is God allowing them to repeat what he is saying. They're a repeater. That's all they are. They're just a repeater. You know, just like in technology, there's a thing called a repeater that takes a signal and it repeats it. That's all prophecy should be. We should never add to it. We should never take away from it. We should do the best we can to only repeat it and amplify. You know, if he said it a certain way, that's exactly what we should say. Well, when a person speaks something to you like that, with that level of accuracy, sometimes there's also an attendant power with it. You'll actually feel the power of the Lord, or you'll feel the joy of the Lord, or it will hit you like an arrow in your heart. You'll say, man, nobody knew about that. I remember one time Edgar and I were at a conference in Ohio, and I was up in the hotel room, and Edgar had gone to a workshop, and I was, to be honest, I was crying really hard, because God and I were going, I was going through some things that were, I was in prayer, and when I cry, I'm a mess. Okay, my face was all swollen, all red, not a face I wanted to take in public, thank you. And the phone rang, and Edgar said, I need you to get down here right now. There's two men who are prophets, and they told me they have a word, but they will not give it until you're here in the room. And I thought, oh boy. And so I said, just give me a minute. And I, you know, washed my face as best I could, got myself kind of together, and went downstairs. And these two men gave us both a prophecy, and I knew it was God. There was no question. Just because someone gives you a fluffy or flattering, nice word, that doesn't mean it's God. People do that sometimes to get attention, just being honest. But these guys were using phrases that no one knew, not even Edgar, things that God and I talk about in our alone time. There's stuff I talk about with God that I never tell anybody. There's certain language we use. You know, it's like you have with a, pardon the expression, but if you're romantic with someone, you might have little names you call each other, affectionate things you call each other. You might have special ways of talking about things. Well, I don't know if everyone does this, but for me, there's some of that language between me and God that no one knows. And when these men started to use phrases like that, it was like God saying, listen carefully, this is me. And I knew that it was. And what he does is he establishes that word with his fingerprints on those words, and then he tells you something that maybe you might not have otherwise received. Maybe it's pretty big. Maybe you hadn't. Sometimes it's a confirmation of what you already know, quite often. But sometimes it then takes and expands it. But because there's so many of God's fingerprints on it, you're able to say, okay, I know that was God, so I know that I can receive that word. Well, so let's go back to this idea. God has given some of you who are watching, he's given some of you a promise of something you will do. And maybe years has gone by. Years have gone by. And maybe it doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen. That does not mean that God changed his mind. It does not mean you took the wrong path. It doesn't mean you messed up and God forgot. It doesn't mean he's mad at you. In every, I almost want to say every scriptural account, but I will certainly say almost every scriptural account I've read, when someone's about to do something of significance, there is a long delay. Moses, decades. Abraham, decades. Right? David, long time. Think how long David had to battle before he took the throne. And it was hard. It was a tough, tough time. Even when they crossed the River Jordan to take the promised land, wait, there's all these tribes that they had to take out. There was still battle, right? And why is that? The reason is because in order, you're not bringing forth just some earthly kid. You know, there's all kinds of people that have earthly ministries that have no real clout. God bless them, we love them, but they don't have any real power, right? And the reason is they've done a work that might be a quarter God and three quarters them, or three quarters God and one quarter them. I'm not putting anybody down. We've all done it. What I am saying, though, is that the object, the thing you want the most, is that for it to be 100% fresh from the throne. You want to have a baby, a ministry, a business that's straight from the throne, because then it's 100% filled with the power of God, the glory of God, the abilities of God, right? It's not you trying to do it for God. It's God releasing himself in some form into the earth through that promise. Jesus is God himself manifested into the earth through this same method. Moses, same method. John the Baptist, same method. It's a method whereby God gets something into the earth. Now, why does God have to do that? Why can't he just wave a wand and say, poof? Well, the reason is that back in Genesis, God gave the earth to man. In Genesis 1, 26 through 28, it's very clear, and we're not going to teach it tonight because I'm sure you've heard me teach it many times, but God essentially gave the earth to humans legally. And so God always works through humans because humans are who have the authority in the earth to do good or to do bad. Why do bad things happen? Because humans do bad things. God didn't do them. Stop blaming God. God didn't do it. And so in Psalm 115, talks about this. It says, the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. So it would be like if somebody recently in my neighborhood, someone built a brand new home and they moved in. Now, I would no more have the right to, I have no right to go into their yard and cut down a tree or go into their yard and plant a flower, right? In order to do that, I would present it to them and say, I would like to plant this flower in your yard. I would get their agreement. Well, this is exactly what goes on with a promise. This is what's going on with you and God. When he promises you something, it doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen. In fact, it usually means you'll have to do some warfare to get it to happen. Now, why would that be? Your fight is not with God. Your fight is with the earth and with the enemy, and sometimes getting other people to line up, right? If you're going to bring something to pass that is a promise from heaven, what's happening, in the reason prayer is important, is you're bringing something that's heavenly out of the heavenly realm. It's been promised to you. Here's what happens. He says, will you do this? I'm going to use you to do this. And you go, yay. Then what you do is say, just like Mary, let it be unto me according to your word. In other words, I receive that word. I believe you. It makes no sense. I don't understand how you're going to do it. But if you've said you're going to do it, somehow, Lord, you're going to do it. And I am not going to be in opposition. So the first thing he needs is your agreement. Just agree. Okay, if you need a confirmation, say, boy, that's pretty big, God. Could you confirm it? He will. And he doesn't mind doing that. But don't stand against it in unbelief. Right? Remember, Zechariah was serving as the priest. Remember, the angel Gabriel showed up to him and tells him that he's going to bear a son. And he gets a little kind of snarky. And the angel, you know, he says, I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God, and you're going to be mute. And he strikes him mute, strikes him dumb so he can't speak. You know, why? So he won't speak against this thing God's trying to do. He was seeking his agreement. But since he wouldn't come in agreement, he says, fine, you're mute. Because he wanted to bring the thing to pass. So what's he doing? At the outset of the promise, he's looking for the handshake of agreement. Yes, sir, I don't understand it. I don't understand why you would pick me. There may be a million things you don't understand, but let it be unto me according to the word of the Lord. If this is what you want, and if I having trouble understanding it, would you confirm it to me? Help me get it. Help me understand it, because I want to do your will, not mine. So that's step one. But then what happens? Now there's a war on, right? Because guess who does not want you to do that thing? And guess who has known probably from before you were born? Now, we don't know why, but one thing I have seen, the enemy knows when somebody's called, and he will try to talk them out of it. He'll try to nail them. He'll try to put a stop to them. He'll try to get people to speak against it. He'll try all kinds of stuff so that that thing doesn't come to pass. Because anytime something that's really of God is released into the earth, it changes the kingdom. It builds the kingdom. It changes lives. It wins souls. It heals the sick. It raises the dead. It does all kinds of things. And he doesn't want that. So he will spend all his effort trying to get you to disbelieve, put yourself down, take yourself out, because God won't take you out. And Satan doesn't have the authority to take you out. So he'll come against your mind trying to get you to take yourself out, put yourself out of commission. You know, why do you think for so many years he tried to get me to be in depression and commit suicide? Because he didn't want this. He didn't want, you know, I knew I was called. And the enemy did not want it. So we went through one thing and another and then another and then another. I mean, it was not a fun process. So one of the things that's happening is you are creating a habitat for the baby. Like if you were going to have an earthly baby, one of the things you start doing is you start looking at, oh, where am I going to put the crib? How am I going to handle, you know, do I need a changing table? Do I need to go have diapers, right? You start to prepare. You start nesting. You start doing what it takes to be prepared to have that child. You create a habitat. You create an environment. You prepare the nursery. Well, when you're going to be used of God in a certain type of ministry, God has to create a habitat in you. And your job through prayer is to create a habitat or a receiving area in the earth. And the only way that can happen is through lots of prayer. Because things have to change for that gift from God to be received in the earth. The enemy was just, I'm telling you, it's just like the promised land. They spent all those years finally getting to the River Jordan. They finally cross, and now the fighting starts. You know, part of my flesh when I read about that was like, are you kidding? All these years in the desert and they finally cross over. Now there's something like, I don't know, 39 tribes, I think, if I remember right. And they have to whoop every single one of them. Are you kidding me? I thought you said this every way, everything, every place on which my foot shall tread, you have given to me. You have given to me. Past tense. That's what you said. Has God ever given you a promise in past tense? Of course he has in his word. And if you ever looked at it and said, boy, sure doesn't look like that's true. He said past tense, but by golly, I don't see it. Well, you know why? Because you have to take the land. And your fight is not with God. Your fight is with the earth realm, the demonic realm, sometimes your flesh, and sometimes you have to pray other people into alignment, your family members, perhaps your church, your leadership. Sometimes you just have to pray. You know, I remember knowing with everything in me that I was called of God. I knew with every cell in my body that I was called to do certain things. I don't know that I had the full picture of what it would end up looking like, but I knew. And there was not one person that saw that in me or would have believed it. No one believed it. No one. You know, I didn't give any evidence of it. I was very quiet. And yet in my inner being, in my guts, as you might say, I absolutely knew. But it was a long series of battles. And part of the battle was me getting changed to be a suitable carrier of that ministry. You know, having a gifting does not mean you're a suitable carrier of the presence. Having a gifting and being a great preacher has nothing to do with actually becoming one. Having lots of knowledge and study time, nope, not enough. We must be transformed. So there's an interesting scripture. Do a little word study on that scripture. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Well, you know, just, I got to tell you, that word formed is the idea of taking the same image as, like a, if you had a tool and die, I don't want to say tool and die because I don't know enough about that, but let's say a metal form you pour it into and then you break it off and you've got perfect forming, like pour it into the mold. Be not conformed to this world, right? But be transformed, completely different word, is that metamorphosis thing of taking on a completely different structure, like a caterpillar to a butterfly or a tadpole to a frog, a completely different structure. Well, what is that really about? What it's really about is in your earth suit, right, you have a flesh. And if you just go through life doing everything the way your earth suit wants to, you're gonna do things just like other people do. We do exactly what we were taught to do. We learn all the, you know, I grew up in a house where we were taught what was polite and what wasn't. You learned how to open the door for someone that was older. Just you learned all the rules of the road, so to speak. Now, everyone's home is not like that, but whatever you were trained to do in the flesh, that's pretty much what you'll do, right? When I got into business, I learned how they did stuff. I started to do that very well, right? What was I doing? I was being conformed to this world. They did what they did. I did things because it's what you do in the earth system. Here's the problem with that. That will never, never manifest the glory of God. That will never manifest the presence of God. That will never manifest heaven on earth. For that to happen, we lay aside those things. Now, everybody in the world doesn't need to know you're doing this. In fact, sometimes you need to do some of this in private. You know, because if you work a secular job, don't be weird when you're at work. Don't be super spiritual and acting weird. They don't understand that. You know, be like Paul, who said he seasoned his words with grace, right? To the Greeks, he was Greek. To the Romans, he was grown. To the Jews, he was Jewish. Why? Because he was trying by any means to save some. So when you go to work, don't be weird. Don't be like, I'm so spiritual. They don't get that. And all they'll do is think, well, they're weird. Doesn't make them want to join the club. Okay. So they don't have to know what you're doing. But what you really have to be doing is behind the scenes, you need to be with God being conformed. Your vessel needs to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We need to be changed and in the process of being changed until we come to a place where we can carry the presence without cracking up or without botching it or without, you know, imagine if you had a vessel, a vase, right? And it's going to carry a lot of water. And imagine that the vessel just isn't structurally strong enough and it has a crack. It's going to crack, it's going to break, all the water's lost. Well, we've seen the equivalent of that in the earth, haven't we? What do I mean? I mean, when we see a ministry that seems like it's carrying the presence of the Holy Ghost and there's a crack in it that maybe wasn't seen, right? It maybe wasn't known. Maybe it was in secret. I'm not putting anybody down. I'm just telling you how things work, okay? I'm not judging anybody. I'm just telling you how things work. And their vessel had not been made strong. They hadn't been set free. They hadn't been delivered. There's a crack no one saw, and pretty soon the whole thing splits. Now all the water is poured out, and now there's damage. There's glass shards. The body of Christ is hurt. People don't know what to do. People are in shock, right? How many times have we seen this? More than I want to count. You know, I would say, you know, I got saved in the 70s, and I can't say that a decade has gone by that I didn't see significant, wonderful ministries fall apart because of significant crackage that had not been dealt with. And so to me, our response needs to be not, oh, God, use me. It needs to be, God, change me, confront me, deal with me, let me change, let me be changed so I never bring reproach on the name of Christ, that I'm able to carry, that I'm able to somehow by the grace of God alone carry what you give me to carry without botching it up. You know, Billy Graham said something wonderful. He said that he had such a fervent desire to go all the way through his life without ever doing anything that would bring reproach upon the name of Jesus. He was more concerned about the name of Jesus than his own name. And my husband used to tell a story. It was a little bit before my, probably before my time. I didn't know of this story, but some people tried to set Billy Graham up in a hotel. You know, he had to travel a lot, so he was in hotels a lot. And they put a woman who was very scantily clad, and right when Billy Graham got off the elevator, they pushed her by him. They tried to get pictures, and immediately the men that were around him threw a coat around her. They got it stopped, but it was all a setup. And you know, the devil is wicked. I'm going to tell you something. I'm so thankful, you know, that God protected Billy, because he did keep his integrity, as far as we know, all the days of his life. And I think that's something to strive for. There's lots of ministries that are flash in the pan. Don't let yours be like that. There's lots of ministries that shoot high and then fall flat. They do great things, and then, you know, because they just weren't able to handle it. And I'm not, again, I am not judging at all. I know that it's only by the grace of God any of us make it through this life. I also know there's a lot of false accusation against people in the body, and a lot of it is not true. All I'm saying to you is that for you and me, I believe with all my heart that the way that it should be is that we go before the Lord continually and get our vessels built up and strong in character and in integrity and in being able to be strengthened to carry what he gives us. And so I don't want to go too long, but I'll just say, you know, those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That is a Bible verse. And people say, oh, no, not me. Well, Jesus said if it happened to the master, it'll happen to the student. So just think about this. If you're going to carry the presence, there will be people who may not like it, may say things, may do things that aren't very nice. But we have to be strong enough that that doesn't take us out or steal our focus away from Jesus. Okay, so that's just one example of the many things. But what I'm trying to say is don't let Satan steal your promise. Don't let Satan steal your baby, your ministry. God wants to birth something through you, whether it's public or private, but you're here for a reason. And when God tells you what that is, even if you don't understand it, you know, be like Mary and say, let it be unto me according to thy word, right? Because she was the handmaid of the Lord. And whether you're a man or a woman, if God promises you something, come in agreement with it and begin to pray that God will transform you in every way and the situations around you to be able to be a nursery for that baby or something that brings something to pass that is truly heavenly. Because when it's truly heavenly, you'll see fruit and that fruit will remain, okay?
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.